Krishna.
Thank you.
श्रीमद् क्रिस् डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य वर्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् क्रिस् डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। श्रीमद्भागवतम मॉर्निंग क्लास की जय। युग धर्मश्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल हरि हरि बोल हरि हरि
Yeah.
Let him be pleased with us, since he is my brother-in-law, the husband of my sister Sati. He is also the worshipable Lord of all women. He is the personality of all opulences and can show mercy towards women who are excused even by the uncivilized hunters. Lord Shiva is the husband of Sati, one of the sisters of Diti. Diti invoked the pleasure of her sister Sati so that Sati would request her husband to excuse her. Besides that, Lord Shiva is the worshipable Lord of all women. He is naturally very kind towards men, on whom on whom even the uncivilized hunters also show their mercy. Since Lord Shiva is himself associated with the women, he knows very well their defective nature, and he might not take very seriously Diti's unavoidable offense, which occurred due to her faulty nature. Every virgin girl is supposed to be a devotee of Lord Shiva. Diti remembered her childhood worship of Lord Shiva and begged his mercy. Om Ajnanati Virambhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Satrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam savadhutam Parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna padam Sahagana lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna
Pranamami
today's discourse, I would like to submit my most respectfully offered obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundara Dev, along with their eternal entourage, such as Shri Lalita Devi, Shri Vishakha Devi, Shri Rubrati Manjari, etc. And along with that, I would also like to pay my most respectfully prostrated homages and due obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Vishnu Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their perpetual entourage, such as Shri Narupa Goswami, Shri Sanatana Goswami, and all the six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my due humble obeisances and respects unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very artistically and in an attempt way has propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness, imbued with pure transcendental devotional values throughout this world in this present modern era in a most unique and fantastic and enchanting way. Conclusively, I would also like to pay my obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas and senior devotees of the Lord present herein, and thereby I would now like to commence the context, the proposed topic of our discussion, the context of our discussion, especially in the context of the pregnancy of Diti in the evening and the presupposed chastisement that Diti is fearing, and due to that reason how she is trying to satisfy Lord Shiva, so that that upcoming calamity or presupposed calamity may not befall upon her. So, as Diti, the mother of daityas or demons, has been praying unto Lord Shiva since last one verse. In yesterday's discussion, we heard how Diti, mother Diti, is invoking the mercy of Lord Shiva by assigning and ascribing different adjectives and modifiers unto Lord Shiva, unto his name, and thereby explaining various different attributes and divine characteristics and qualities associated with the innate personality of Lord Shiva. So she said in the very first verse of her prayer, Namo Rudraya Mahate Devayokraya Mibhushe Shivaya Nyasta Dandaya Dhrita Dandaya Manyave. Namo Rudraya. Obeisances unto the ferocious personality who is very angry and dreadful. Mahate Devaya, who is Mahadev. Mahate Devaya means he is Mahadev, who is the chief among all the demigods, who is the great demigod. Ugraya, who is very angry and ferocious. Midhushe, who is the fulfiller of all the material desires. Shivaya, who is all auspicious. Nyastadandaya means one who has forsaken, one who has naturally forsaken the task of giving punishment, giving chastisement. Danta means chastisement or punishment. And yes, that means one who has naturally forsaken, abandoned the task, the propensity, the function of chastising. Why? Because Lord Shiva, he is the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. He is actually, he has attained the climax or the most paramount position, the most exalted, super excellent, par excellent position among all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who can be found in all the three worlds combined. That is why in the Bhagavatam it is said that Vaishnava anam yathashambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest among all the devotees of Lord Vishnu. And because he is the greatest among all the devotees of Lord Vishnu, that is why in his personality is also found the mood of humility, the mood of submissiveness, the mood of titiksha, tolerance, in vast amount, in greater amount than it is found in other living entities. Because he is the greatest among all the devotees, in him the attributes that are associated with the pure devotion, those divine attributes, those saintly qualities, are also found in him in a vast greater amount. And that is why, because he is full of humility, submissiveness and tolerance, because he is full of amanitvam, manatvam, trinadapi sunichetatvam and tarorapi sahishmatvam, because of these four qualities. That is why he is nirastadharma. Nirastadharma means who has naturally forsaken the task of giving punishments. Especially, he never gives punishment to the devotees of the Lord. He might allot punishment. He might bestow punishment unto those who are miscreants. But even unto those who are miscreants, he does not often award punishment like Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, he punishes both his devotees sometimes in order to rectify them. Just like Narada was once punished, you know the whole story. Narada was also punished. And the Puranas mention the story that once upon a time, Narada Muni became very proud and arrogant. And he started thinking that I am Avar Akhanda Brahmachari, Naishthika Brahmachari. I am not Upakurvana Brahmachari. There are two types of celibates mentioned in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Upakurvana and Naishthika. Upakurvana means that Brahmachari, that celibate, who ceases his full-time celibacy and makes his full-time celibacy part-time upon entering Grihastha Ashram, upon entering the household life. But even then he is considered Brahmachari because even while situated in Grihastha Ashrama, he does not engage in unrestricted sense enjoyment. That is why that Brahmachari is Upakurvana. But that particular Brahmachari who is Brihad Vrati, four kinds of Brahmachari mentioned. So the fourth type of Brahmachari is Brihad Vrati. That kind of celibacy which lasts, which endures for the entire life, that celibacy is known as Brihad Vrat type of Brahmachari. So that person who has made a vow of lifelong celibacy is known as Brihad Vrati or Naishthik Brahmachari. So Narada was very proud of this, that I am Avar Brahmachari. Since childhood I have been celibate threefold, in threefold ways. As Yajnavalkya Rishi has mentioned in Yajnavalkya Smriti, that, and Srila Prabhupada has also quoted this verse in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in his Bhaktivedanta purports, explaining what is the meaning of Brahmacharya. So, Trividham Maithunam Prachakshate. So, there are three types of sexual activities and abnegation or abstinence from these three types of sexual activities means vocal, mental and physical. Kali Maithun, Vachik Maithun and Manasik Maithun. The abstinence from these three types of sexual activities means full Brahmacharya, Naishthik Brahmacharya, full celibacy. So Narada was very proud of this, that I have followed the vows of celibacy in threefold ways since my childhood up to now. And I will continue to follow. So he went to Lord Shiva and committed an offense. He went to Lord Shiva, he went in front of Lord Shiva and he committed an offense. And he told Lord Shiva, he did not even pay his due obeisances, his due respects. Actually Lord Shiva is his elder brother of Narada. In that sense also he should have paid respects. And Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. In that sense also he should have paid the respects. But he became very arrogant. And rather he told or taunted Lord Shiva by saying, "Oh Shiva, what is your courage? What is your bravery? What is your chivalry and heroism against my confidence, against my determination of celibacy? It's nothing."
It's nothing. Because you were afraid of Kamadeva. You were afraid of Kandarpa. You were afraid of Ananda Pushpabana. You were afraid of that cupid who holds five arrows of lust in his hand. That is why, since you were afraid of confronting him, that is why you made him completely non-existent. Because if that person becomes non-existent, then there is no fear to you that he will ever confront you and he will ever make you defeated by his influence. And that is why you just perished, made him perish from the root. You made him burnt alive because you were fear of confronting him. You are fearful of confronting him. But I am not fearful of confronting this Kamadev. I will rather make this Kamadev again enlightened, and then I'm able to confront him without being influenced by him. So I'm greater than him. You were afraid of him, I'm not afraid of him. Like this. So then the whole story goes in a synopsis that Lord Shiva, he did not answer Narada's arrogance. He knew that Lord Narayana, he will sometime he will correct his devotee Narada. He will rectify his mistake. So Lord Narayana, according to the desire of Lord Narayana, once upon a time Narada grew the desire of marrying one very beautiful princess known as Vishwamohini. Vishwamohini. And Lord Narayana created an illusory scenario in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere, he created an illusory scenario, and this beautiful princess, who was Lord Narayana himself expounded, her father was the king of that kingdom, ruler of that empire, had arranged one Swayamvara ceremony, had arranged that marriage ceremony in which the bride was given the right, autonomous right, to choose her groom by her own desire. So Narada also wanted to be part of that ceremony, and he wanted to marry the Vishwamohini, but somehow or other the events did not turn out right by the arrangement of the Lord. So it is Lord's duty to correct and rectify the mistakes of his devotees, to punish his devotees from time to time, intermittently, periodically, occasionally. And also it is the duty of the Lord to punish those who are demonic, those who are miscreants, those who are non-devotees, especially karmis, jnanis, etc., and papacharis and duracharis. So Lord has twofold duties of punishing, chastising his devotees if needed, and punishing the non-devotees. Vinashaya chatushkritam. Vinashaya chatushkritam means punishing the non-devotees. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chatushkritam. But Lord Shiva, being the devotee of the Lord, being the highest type of devotee of the Lord, he even hesitates to chastise the non-devotees. He does not chastise the non-devotees and demons so much. Only sometimes when he is really forced to do so, he chastises them, like the killing of one demon known as Shankhachuda. This Shankhachuda is different from the Shankhachuda. Actually, it's a different story. This Shankhachuda story comes in Brahma Vaivarta Puran, who was the husband of Vrinda Devi, Tulsi Maharani, and he was killed by Mahadev in the war. So, upon the deceitful action of Lord Vishnu, by the deceitful action of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva was able to kill this Shankhachuda. And like this, some demons have been killed by Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva generally does not kill demons, nor does he punish the devotees of the Lord, Narayana. That is not his propensity. That is why Nistadandaya. Nistadandaya means that generally he is very forgiving, very compassionate, and the personification of humility, being the Vaishnava. Dhritadandaya. But sometimes he may also become angry. And that is why Diti is doubtful. Diti is doubtful that he might become angry. Manyave. Because what is the reason of his becoming angry? Although his Ashutosh very easily and instantly and immediately satisfied, but he is also instantly, he can become angry and wrathful. He can be instantly angered. He can be instantly angered. He can be made angry instantly. Manyave. Manyave means anger, crow. And manyave means who becomes angry instantly.
So, Diti, who was even now doubtful and suspicious in regards to whether Lord Shiva will be actually pleased with her or not, wants to make Lord Shiva bound within six conditions. She actually wants to make Lord Shiva bound within six conditions. As Prabhuji, our Nityananda Prabhu, he was explaining yesterday, even though Didi is trying to pacify Lord Shiva, and even though she is apologizing for her serious mistake, for her, this is not a misdemeanor, this is actually a very serious mistake. Misdemeanor means not very serious, but this is actually a serious mistake, this is a very serious penalty. Well, it's a very serious crime that she is guilty of. So, Diti wants to pacify Lord Shiva and she is apologizing to Lord Shiva to forgive her, but she is apologizing in a deceitful way. If Diti was actually pure in her heart, then she would have told Lord Shiva, "Oh Lord Shiva, may the reaction of this activity befall upon me." Just like Prabhuji was explaining yesterday. And this is the truth. The pure devotees of the Lord, they will never like to make themselves liable for any type of punishment. They will never consider themselves relieved of any mistake or any guilt or any offense or any sin that they have performed. This is the natural humility of the pure devotees. The pure devotees of the Lord, they will like to go to hellish planets and suffer the sufferings and the painful pains found in those hellish planets without any type of conditioning and without any type of excuse or pretext or contentious argument. But those who are not pure devotees of the Lord, they will like to make themselves relieved of all the punishments that are befalling upon them by using all types of different arguments, conditionings and reasonings. So, here Diti is also imposing many conditions on Lord Shiva, and she is actually trying to bind Lord Shiva. This is sometimes also called the act of blackmailing. This is sometimes also called the act of blackmailing. And usually all the sakama karmis, all the fruitive actors, they have this propensity. Because they are fruitive minded, because they are not serving the Lord for Lord's sake, for Lord's pleasure, because in every action of these fruitive actors, their own personal selfish desires are hidden. And that is why these fruitive actors, even when they will be worshipping the Lord, they will be actually trying to cheat the Lord. They will say that, "Oh Lord, we are trying to satisfy you by these charities, austerities, penances, sacrifices, yajna, dan, vrata, tapasya, etc." But even in their trying to satisfying the Lord, there remains hidden the desire, the subtle desire of their personal sense enjoyment. Why they want to satisfy the Lord? Because unless the Lord becomes satisfied, their desires will not be fulfilled. So ultimately, even after satisfying the Lord, there is tinge of duplicity. And that tinge of duplicity is their selfish desire. And here also, Diti is trying to run away from the supposed chastisement of her, or the supposed she is actually trying to run away. She does not want to be inflicted by that chastisement, and that is why she is making or putting seven conditions, and she is trying to bind Lord Shiva in these seven conditions. The first thing Diti is saying is that bhava. She is giving many adjectives to Lord Shiva. She says that sarva prasidatam bhavo. Bhavana means brother-in-law. Bhamaha means brother-in-law. One who is the husband of my sister. Sister is generally known as bhagini. And one who is bharata of my bhagini.
Bharta means maintainer, sustainer, husband. One who is Bharta, one who is the maintainer of my bhagini, of my sister, that person is known as Bhama. This is how Sridhar Swami and other acharyas, while quoting on this, while interpreting this verse, have made in-depth analysis of the word Bhamaha. Bhamaha means one who is the husband of my sister, Bharta of my bhagini. So she's trying to say, what actually she's trying to say? You're husband of my sister, what does this actually mean? You're my brother-in-law. What she is actually trying to say? Diti is actually trying to say that because you are my brother-in-law, because you are my brother-in-law, and because you are the husband of my sister, you should not kill my pregnancy or make me suffer any type of calamity. She is afraid of two types of punishments. The first type of punishment she is afraid of is that Lord Shiva will destroy my embryo. He will destroy my womb. He will destroy my pregnancy. The child who is within my abdomen, who is within my uterus, he will destroy my garbha. This is the first calamity. And the second calamity is, Diti is thinking, if that Lord Shiva will not destroy my embryo, then he might destroy or make some kind of other calamity befall upon me. He can make some other type of calamity befall upon me. So these two types of calamities are there. And Diti is trying to say that because you are my brother-in-law, it is not befitting you to kill the child, to kill the embryo of your sister-in-law. This is what she is actually trying to say. By the word Bhamaha, she is trying to bind Lord Shiva within the familial relationship, within the blood relationship, within the family relationship, she is trying to bound him. That even according to Shishtachar, even according to the moral law, it is not proper, it is actually not proper to kill the womb of any woman. But it is especially not proper to kill the womb of one's own sister-in-law. So she is trying to bind Lord Shiva by using this first argument, not directly, but indirectly, by giving him an adjective, and that adjective is Bhamaha. Bhamaha means you are my brother-in-law. By giving this adjective to Lord Shiva, she is actually trying to bind Lord Shiva. Bhamaha. And she has used second argument. And the second argument is Bhagavan. Why you should be pleased with me? Prasidatam means why you should become pleased on me or pleased with me. Second argument she is stating after the first argument is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means since you are the personality of all opulences, you are endowed with all supernatural and divine powers and potencies, that is why you also have power to make that which is impossible, possible. Aghatan ghatan pati yasi atmika shaktihi. Lord Shiva has this special power which other demigods like Brahma, Indra, etc., the regular or the normal demigods, they do not have. Because Lord Shiva is not a jivatma, because he is not a living entity. That is why he has this special power that the other demigods do not have. And this special power he has is Agatan Ghatan Patiyasi Atmika Shakti, which means Lord Shiva can transform that which is impossible into possible. So what is impossible? Generally, in the material world, according to the law of karmic reaction, according to the law of karma, one has to suffer for the ugra karma, for the hard actions, for the aggressive actions and vices that person has performed. Generally, this is the law. This is the law of material nature. But Lord Shiva, because he is Bhagavan, because he has this special power of transforming impossible into possible, he can make the vices or the sin that I have just performed, he can make the vice and the sin that I have just performed important and ineffective. He has that special power. That is why she is calling her as Bhagavan. Bhagavan means who is full of opulences and full of powers. And the most Most important power that Lord Shiva has is that he can transform the vices into merits. That is why Lord Shiva is known as Shiva. Shiva means Kalyanamaya, auspiciousness personified. Shiva, the word Shiva literally is translated in Sanskrit language as auspiciousness. Shiva means auspiciousness. Just like Krishna means all attractive, Shiva means auspiciousness. And because Lord Shiva is not endowed with auspiciousness, but rather his auspiciousness personified, that is difference. When somebody is endowed with auspiciousness and when somebody is auspiciousness personified, there is a great difference. Lord Shiva, because he is auspiciousness personified, he is not Shiva Yukta. Shiva Yukta would mean that he is endowed with auspiciousness. No. He is auspiciousness himself personified. That is why he is not Shiva Yukta, rather he is Shiva. Shiva means auspiciousness personified. Fortune personified. And what is that? And because he is that auspiciousness personified, he can make all types of ashubhas. He can make all types of inauspicious things converted into auspicious. This is the power that the other demigods like Brahma, Indra, etc. do not have. And because Lord Shiva has this special power, his very name is indicating it. Lord Shiva's very name is indicating that he has this special power of converting all inauspicious items into auspicious items. And because vices and sins are inauspicious, he has the power to convert them into merits, and he also has the power to nullify and make the sins ineffective and impotent. And so, Diti is saying that if Lord Shiva argues, Diti is thinking in her mind, this is what the Acharyas have revealed, the mind of Diti. Diti is thinking in her mind that if Lord Shiva argues that, okay, I am your brother-in-law, so you are going to say that I should not kill your embryo or your womb because I am your brother-in-law. That may be alright, but you will still have to suffer for the results of your actions. Okay, I might not kill your embryo, but Yamaraj will kill your embryo. If I will not take any action, Yamaraj will take action, because it is the duty of Yamaraj to punish the living entities according to their karmic reactions. It is the duty of Yamaraj to punish the living entities according to their reactions, their sinful activities. So, if I might not take any action on you, because I am your brother-in-law and you have bound me within this condition, so Yamaraj will take action. So, Diti is trying to counteract or refute both of the arguments given by Lord Shiva. Diti says that because your auspiciousness personified, the time will not come that Yamaraj will make a judgment, make a decision of punishing me based on my sins. Because you have the power to convert my sins into virtues. You have the power to convert and transform my vices into virtues. And you have the power to make everything inauspicious, my vices and my offenses and my impious views nullified and ineffective. That is why if the sins will not remain as sin, then how will Yamaraj make a judgment based on that sin? This is the argument given by Diti here. This is very subtle argument. The Bhagavatam is, actually you have to study Bhagavatam, we all have to study Bhagavatam, penetrating into the in-depth, profound knowledge that is present, that is pervaded, that is permeated within Bhagavatam. So Acharyas, being the greatest psychologists, in front of whom all the mundane so-called psychologists having PhDs and masters and bachelors of degree will fail. This is the psychology that the Acharyas have revealed. Not even modern day psychologists can reveal this psychology here. So, now, then Lord Shiva might argue again that, okay, I might make the sins transform into pious deeds, or I might make your sins ineffective because I am that special power, because I am Shiva, auspiciousness personified. But still, Yamraj will try to take some action. He will not try to let you go. So, counteracting this argument of Lord Shiva, Diti is saying, no, no, you are Bhagavan. You are all powerful. If you will protect me, Yamraj cannot do anything. What does it mean? What does it actually mean? Diti is trying to bring Lord Shiva into that part of the history wherein Lord Shiva once upon a time became angry on Brahma, and Brahma, fearful of Lord Shiva's power, had to flee away. And once upon a time, this is also mentioned in the other Puranas, once upon a time there was one demon known as Vidyunmali demon. And this Vidyunmali demon was devotee of Lord Shiva. But this Vidyunmali demon had committed some offense unto the sun god, Devaswam, unto Surya Deva. So what happened was that Surya Deva went after this Vidyunmali demon to kill him, but Vidyunmali demon went to Lord Shiva for protection, and Lord Shiva, being very angry, that why Surya Deva or sun god is trying to kill my devotee, Lord Shiva, being very angry on sun god, went after sun god holding a trident, and sun god had to flee away also. And that is why Diti is trying to invoke the remembrance of these two incidences, these two past incidences within the mind of Lord Shiva, and she is trying to say, Yamraj cannot do anything. Just look what happened to Brahma, and just look what happened to Surya. They tried to confront you, but they had to run away. And that is why, if you will protect me, nothing will happen. You can make this inauspiciousness transform into auspiciousness, and then Yamraj cannot make any decision based on my sins, because the sins will not remain anymore. And that is why she is saying Bhagavan. Bhagavan means you have a special power, which even Brahma, Indra and other demigods cannot have. You have special power, you have special opulence. That is what is meant by Bhagavan here. This is the second condition that, or the second argument, or the second way of exploiting Lord Shiva that Diti is making. The third way that Diti is trying to exploit Lord Shiva is, she is saying, Uru Anugraha. Uru Anugraha means, Uru means great. And Anugraha means who is mercy or compassion or munificence personified. One who is munificence or compassion personified. And that compassion is not limited. Lord Shiva can say that, oh, I might be compassionate, but I cannot be compassionate upon you. So Diti is saying, no, your compassion or munificence is not limited. Your Kripa Shakti, your grace is not limited. Your grace, your compassion is rather unlimited. You have compassion in abundance. That is why you should also be compassionate upon me. You should not try to limit your compassion only on those people who are righteous and who are pious. You should also become compassionate upon me who has performed an impious deed and who has now become sinful. Because your compassion is not limited, you are Uru Anugraha. Uru Anugraha means, in your personality, the virtue of compassion, the attribute, the quality of compassion is found in abundance. It's in abundance, in surplus amount. It is found in surplus amount in yourself. That is why you should not worry that your abundance will be that your compassion will be misused if you will become compassionate upon me. Your compassion will not be misused if you will become compassionate upon me. Rather, it will be made known to the public that how much forgiving you are even unto those who are sinful. How much you are Patit Pavan, being a Vaishnava, being a pure devotee of Lord Narayana. How much Patit Pavan you are. How much Paradukh Dukhi you are. How much you feel distressed by seeing the distress of others, and thereby how much you are compassionate upon the fallen souls. So you should try to display this compassion on me, which is found in you in abundance. That is why she tells Lord Shiva that you are Uru Anugraha, you are greatly compassionate. This is the third argument that she has used. And by this she is also trying to say that Anu committed two things. Actually, Diti has committed two things. She has committed papa and she has committed aparadha also. These are two different things. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his treatise known as Madhurya Kadambini, he makes it very clear that papa or sins are different than aparadha or offenses. The sins are not as serious as the offenses are, because the sins do not touch the spirit soul, whereas the offense performed either unto the Lord or His devotees, Bhagavad Aparad or Vaishnava Aparad, that's that offense which is performed either unto the Lord or His devotees directly touches the spirit soul. This is the difference between the sins and the offenses. This is what our acharyas have explained, that the aparadha directly touches the jivatma, but the papa does not touch the jivatma. Papa or sin only touches the subtle body and the gross body. That's the real difference. That's the ontological difference. So, Diti has committed a sinful action by transgressing the law of Dharma Shastra, by transgressing the law and codes of ethics and morality, by having sexual union at evening time, which is prohibited. But this is sin. And by saying Bhagavan, she is trying to say that you can make everything inauspicious, you can make all sins nullified because you are auspicious. But this can be said for the sins. She has performed a sin, but at the same time she has also performed an offense. So Diti has already showed Lord Shiva the way of rescuing her from sins. But she has not yet shown Lord Shiva the way of rescuing her from aparadha, from offense. The aparadha is that she has disrespected Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of all devotees, by being so much lustful that the natural quality of a woman, which is lajja, lajja means shyness, bashful nature. This bashful nature, this shyness, which is the natural inherent quality of woman, which is inherent in feminine nature. Diti, by making this bashfulness, by making this shyness covered by her lusty, passionate, aggressive desire, has disrespected Lord Shiva, who is a respectable personality. Because as we were explaining day before yesterday, to become completely devoid of bashfulness or shyness in front of the elders also constitutes disrespecting them. If you become completely devoid of bashfulness and shyness in front of your elders, that means you are actually disrespecting your elders. So here, Diti is saying that by not being bashful when you are coming out for traveling, sitting on your mandi boot, by not becoming bashful in front of you, I have actually disrespected you, who are the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And that is why I have also performed an aparadha. But being Mahabhagavata, being greatest of all the devotees of the Lord, you are compassionate to that extent that you do not take any aparadha, any offense committed at your lotus feet at all, at any time. Because just like that, Chitraketu, although he has not committed an offense in reality until Lord Shiva, but still it seems as if Chitraketu has committed an offense. And Narada also, it seems that Narada has also committed an offense unto you, O Lord Shiva. But you are forgiving Narada and Chitraketu both. Rather, you are chastising that Parvati who actually cursed Chitraketu. You are trying to chastise that Parvati by showing the glories of the devotees of Lord Narayana to this Parvati and making her realize her mistake. And so, you never take at all seriously any offenses committed at your lotus feet. And that is why you are Guru Anugraha. Guru Anugraha means who has compassion, who has mercy in such an amount that he never takes any offense. He never even recognizes, you never even recognize any offense, as in the case of Chitraketu, and as in the case of Narada, and as in the case of Daksha Prajapati. You never recognize any offense by all of these three. Rather, you become indifferent to these three. You never recognized any offense and thereby cursed these people. That is why Guru Anugraha. Guru Anugraha means you have great compassion. Oh, you are so much compassionate that Bhasmasu, who was the son of demon known as Shakuni, and this story is mentioned in the 10th kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, last part. That Bhasmasur, who was the son of demon known as Shakuni, that Bhasmasur actually, he took some benedictions. He gained some benedictions from you. And he wanted to test whether those benedictions that you have given to him were real or not, were factual or false. He wanted to test that. So, in order to test that, he wanted to put his head on you as the first person to be tested or examined. So there also Bhasmasura was trying to offend you in a very serious way. But even though you fell into that calamity and Lord Vishnu rescued you by assuming a form of a dwarf Brahmana and by deluding the intelligence of Bhasmasura thereby. But even then you did not become angry on this Bhasmasura, neither you cursed him. Otherwise, as soon as that Bhasmasura would try to put his hand on your head, instead of running away, you could have cursed Bhasmasura instantly so that he could have become turned into ashes. Just like you opened your third eye and made Kamadeva, Cupid, turned into ashes, in the same way, you could have opened your third eye and before that Bhasmasura actually touches you, you could have made Bhasmasura turn into ashes. But you did not do it. You did not do it because you are full of compassion. And rather, you made Lord Vishnu rescue you. And you did not do it because you did not consider that offense of Bhasmasura. Even though you were afraid of him, you didn't really consider that offense of Bhasmasura. That is why you didn't open your third eye. Rather, you invited Lord Vishnu to solve the situation thereby. So this shows how much tolerant and how much compassionate, O Lord Shiva, you are. That is why she is saying, Guru Anugraha. Guru Anugraha means whose compassion is found in abundance, in a surplus amount. Oh, you are so much compassionate that you cannot even chastise that Bhasmasura who wants to kill you. And if the ordinary uncivilized hunter, Vyadaha means if ordinary uncivilized hunters who are themselves beasts, because only a beast can do the action of killing beasts. So these hunters who are very uncivilized, these butchers and hunters who are uncivilized and who are devoid of all compassion and who are of beasts, who are of the nature of the beasts, and who are not humans, who are just humans in their forms, but who are not humans in their nature. Even these hunters show mercy unto women, who are the objects of mercy. Dayapatra means objects of mercy. So if those hunters and if those butchers, who are devoid of all compassion, mercy, who are full of the mode of ignorance, who are cruel at their hearts, and who are generally of the nature of beasts, even those hunters, they show compassion on women. So why would you, O Lord Shiva, who is most compassionate, will not show mercy or compassion unto me? This is the 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fourth argument that Diti has actually presented in front of Lord Shiva. Because Diti is actually trying to say that since this the ladies or women are considered avadhya, according to the Vedic law, the strees or the women or the ladies, they are considered avadhya. Avadhya means they cannot be killed. Just like Brahmana or Brahmabandhu, just like those who are real Brahmins or those who have been born in the family of real Brahmins, Brahmabandhus, they also cannot be killed physically. Brahmana or Brahmabandhu, as in this incident of Ashwatthama, as in the incident of Ashwatthama, it is proven that Brahmana and Brahmabandhu, they cannot be awarded any type of physical death penalty. So, just like the Brahmana and Brahmabandhus, they cannot be harmed physically. In the same way, the ladies or women, according to the Vedic law, they also cannot be killed. And you know the Vedic law, and you are the most merciful, and if the hunters, they even will not try to kill women, then why would you like to kill me or my child, my embryo? This is the argument given by Diti here. Vyadhasya api ankampyanam strinam devaha. And the fifth argument she is giving is strinam devaha. Because you are the worshipable lord of all the strees, all the women of this material world. And Srila Prabhupada has written in his purport that every virgin girl is supposed to be a devotee of Lord Shiva. Did he remember her childhood worship of Lord Shiva and begged his mercy? So, even now in India, this tradition is still incumbent. It is still ongoing that the Kumaris or the virgin girls, the unmarried girls, they still worship Lord Shiva for getting very nice and virtuous and pious husband. So every year during the Navratri times in India, the Kumaris or the virgin girls, they worship Lord Shiva in a special occasion known as Gauri Vrata. Gauri Vrata. This is a special occasion known as Gauri Vrata. And during this Gauri Vrata, which falls during the Navratri time, all the Kumaris, all the virgin girls, they worship Lord Shiva. And even we see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, we can also see that once upon a time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was 5 or 6 years of age, at that time, during his Pauganda Lila, he went to the shore of Ganges in Navadvipa, and many Kumaris, many virgin girls were sitting on the shore of Ganges in Navadvipa, and they were worshipping Lord Shiva and Parvati. And what was the purpose of worshipping Lord Shiva and Parvati? The purpose of worshipping Lord Shiva and Parvati was to get nice husbands. So in Mahaprabhu's Lila, we can also see that even in those times, and even now in India, there is still this custom or tradition of worshipping Lord Shiva. Even Janaki or Mother Sita, although she doesn't need to worship Lord Shiva or Parvati, because she is the infinite potency of Lord Narayana, but just in order to set example for the common public, she also has worshipped Lord Shiva and Parvati before her marriage with Lord Ramachandra. This incident is also mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana. Then also Rukmini Vivaha Prasanga, the marriage of Queen Rukmini with Lord Krishna, that has been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. Even at that time it is mentioned that Rukmini, when Lord Krishna went in Kuntinpur in Vidarbha to abduct, to kidnap Rukmini Devi, according to the pre-made plan, according to the arranged plan, Rukmini at that time was worshipping Parvati and Lord Shiva. So, this is the custom in India to worship Parvati and Lord Shiva. And we can see that even those cowherd denizens of Braja, Gopikas, they were also worshipping Katyayani, who is the other form of Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva. So, we can see from these incidences that Lord Shiva is actually the worshipable lord of all the unmarried girls, virgin girls, and that is why he is known as Strinam Deva. Because you are the worshipable lord of all the virgin girls and even married women, that is why you should try to protect me, who am a woman. I am a woman. And because I am a woman, and because you are my worshipful Lord, and because I worship you before getting married, and even now I am worshipping you many times, that is why, being the default Lord of all the women, you should try to protect me, my embryo, and myself, both. Sri Ram Devaha Sati Patini. And she is saying that you are the husband of Sati. Sati is one of my sisters. Actually, Daksha Prajapati has 13 daughters. Daksha Prajapati has 13 daughters. And among these 13 daughters, two are Diti and Aditi. And another is Sati. Sati is one among the 13 daughters of Daksha Prajapati. So because you are the husband of Sati, you should not punish me, you should not chastise me. Now what is the meaning of this, Sati Patihi? She has already conveyed the idea that you are the husband of my sister. She has already conveyed this idea by saying Bhama. Bhama means you are my brother-in-law. Brother-in-law means you are the husband of my sister. She has already once conveyed this idea. So why she is repeating this idea again? If she is repeating this idea again, then it means that she is full of the fault of redundancy. Redundancy means punarukti dosha. Punarukti dosha. To say one thing two times in one verse means you are making it redundant. And redundancy, punarukti, is actually considered a fault. Is actually considered a dosha. So, certainly this is not redundancy. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying, while commenting on this word Satipatihi, he is saying that here Satipatihi does not mean the same as Bhama, does not mean the same as brother-in-law. Here Satipatihi has some special meaning. That is why it cannot be considered to be redundant terminology. Vishwanatha says, evam sanshayana eva stuvana sva dainyam darshayanti tasmad abhayam prarthayate bhama bhagini pati. Bhama means the husband of my sister. Urur anugraho yasya saha vyadhasya nirdayasya ati sati pati riti strinam svabhavam svayameva vetti visuchayati. Here, by saying that you are the husband of Sati, Diti is trying to convey two ideas which are different from the idea which is expressed by the word Bhama. That is why redundancy cannot be applied here. What is the first idea she is trying to convey? She is trying to convey that because you are the husband of Sati, Parvati, because you are the husband of Sati, you know very intimately what are, as being the husband, you know very intimately what are the faults, or what are the natural faults of women, which rather a brahmachari or a celibate cannot know. A brahmachari or a celibate or a person who has never associated with women except for his mother, he can never know this thing. But you are not brahmachari because you are married, and married to whom? To Sati. And because Sati has exposed, shown 4 to 5 times these feminine faults in her whole life history, that is why you are very much intimately aware of the faults which are pervading the women in general. And that is why you should consider that what I have done is also due to this fault that all the women in general are naturally having. What I have done, what mistake I have done, is certainly arising from the fault that all the women in general are naturally possessing in their personality. So, you should, because you are the husband of Sati, you know this fault very well, you should not take it very seriously. Just like you are, many times, Sati has many times made mistakes. Even though you have warned Sati not to do so, just like Kashyapa warned me not to do so, but still I made mistake. In the same way, you warned Sati many times, still she made mistakes, not once, many times. Not only in the prasanga, not only in the incident of Daksha Prajapati, but in many incidents she has made mistakes, despite your warnings, despite your precautions. But still you have forgiven her. In the same way, you should also forgive me. Because you know that this is very natural for the women to make mistakes like these. So, satipatihi iti strinam svabhavam svayameva vyakti iti suchayati. So, what are many incidences where Lord, which are those incidences that Lord Shiva is aware of, and by those incidences Lord Shiva knows the natural fault of women. So, the first incident is Daksha Prajapati's incident. Lord Shiva warned Sati not to go there and participate in the sacrifice of her father. But still she went. And what happened? Everyone knows. In the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. This is the first mistake. If you are not obedient to your husband, who is husband like Lord Shiva, then you will suffer for your result. So, Daksha Jagya Prasanga. This is the first incident. The second incident is Ganesh Utpatti Prasanga. The incident when Ganesha takes birth from the womb of Sati Parvati. From the womb of Sati Parvati, Ganesh takes birth, and this story is mentioned in Brahma Vaivarta Puran, Ganesh Khand of Brahma Vaivarta Puran. Brahma Vaivarta Puran states very nicely that Lord Shiva and Parvati, they wanted to celebrate the auspicious occasion for the advent of Ganesh. So what happened is, Parvati wanted to invite all the demigods, all the 330 million demigods for this holy occasion in Kailash. So Shiva told Parvati, you might want to invite all of them, and you can invite all of them, but do not invite Shani, because if you will invite Shani, something wrong will happen. But Parvati was very resistant and subordinate. Now this is the natural fault that we are talking about. No, I also invite Shani Devi. So she invited Shani. Shani came, but he didn't see towards the child, Ganesh. Because Shani has Vakra Drishti. Vakra Drishti means, Shani is famous for having Vakra Drishti. Vakra Drishti means, very inauspicious vision. Shani, the demigod known as Shani, is very much known, renowned for having inauspicious vision. On whomever he sees, something will happen to that person. So, Shani was not looking at the baby born. So, Parvati or Sati thought that, oh, he is disrespecting my child. Everyone is happy that I have begotten a child. Everyone is happy about this. In all the three worlds, in whole universe, all the demigods are happy. They are jubilant. They are rejoicing. But he is not rejoicing. Why he is not rejoicing? So, she challenged and she actually asked, regretfully she asked Shani, oh Shani, why are you not looking at my child? So Shani said, mother, I cannot look at the child, because if I will look at the child, your child will immediately be killed, because I have inauspicious vision. I am born with this quality. See, she was very adamant and defiant. She said, no, you must look at my child. So as soon as Shani has looked towards Ganesha, his head became severed. His head becomes sick. And then Parvati became so angry, she cursed Shani. Shani said, well, this is not my fault, I have already warned you. So this, in this incident also you can see how much Parvati was adamant. Then in the incident of Chitraketu, mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, Lord Shiva remained quiet. If he remained quiet, why Parvati needed to speak at that time? Because Lord Shiva knew that Chitraketu cannot perform any offense, because he is on the level of Prema Bhakti. It is only offense due to apparent vision. It is offense only in apparent vision. It is not real offense. That is why he remained quiet. But if your husband remains quiet, why you need to speak? You are subordinate to husband. If husband remains quiet, why you need to speak? But still Parvati spoke. And then Shiva had to chastise him. Her. This is the third incident. Fourth incident is Shukadeva Bhagavat Shravan Prasanga. It is mentioned in the Puranas that Parvati wanted to hear Shrimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva made a condition, I will speak Bhagavatam only if no other person enters the place of our discussion. Not even Ganesh, Kartikeya or any other person should enter this place when we are discussing Bhagavatam. So, Lord Shiva made a firm regulation that I will speak Bhagavatam only until you will respond intermittently, like this. Only if you will respond intermittently like this, I will know that you are still listening, and only for that much time I will speak, continue to speak. So, Parvati, what happened? Parvati fell asleep, and Shukadev Goswami, who was present at that time in the form of a parrot bird, he started making the sound, ha ha ha, etc. And Lord Shiva, his eyes were closed, so he didn't know. But Lord Shiva had told Parvati that as soon as you feel sleepy, you should inform me that you are feeling sleepy, and so I will stop this Bhagavad Katha. But Parvati did not do that. So this is another incident where Parvati has not followed the order of Lord Shiva, although that was for the good. The fourth incident is Jamadagni Renuka Prasanga. This is not regarding Parvati, this is regarding other women. This incident is mentioned in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, Parshuram. Parshuram, he killed her own mother. Why? Because once upon a time, what happened was that this wife of Jamadagni, Renuka Devi, who is the mother of Parshuram, she had went to take bath in a pond, in a lake. And when she went to take bath in a pond, at that time she saw many different celestial angels, especially the Gandharvas, doing their lusty affairs, performing all the different sorts of lusty affairs with their damsels, with their consorts and wives, and other nymphs of heaven. So, Renuka's mind became attracted. Renuka's mind became attracted to enjoy with those Gandharvas, but she could not do it. She returned back. Jamadagni, who was Sarvajna, who was omniscient, he immediately knew, understood the mind of Renuka. He immediately understood that she wants to actually have an affair with that Gandharva. So in order to chastise her, Jamadagni, he actually ordered Parshuram to chop off the head of his mother instantly. And Parshuram, knowing the power that his father was possessing, he was knowing that my father could again make my mother alive. So he chopped off the head of his own mother, and then Parshuram requested Jamadagni to make his mother again alive, and he made it. So this is another incident where actually the woman should remain subordinate to her husband, but due to this, and in Ahilya Prasanga also, Ahilya Prasanga, that incident of Ahilya and Gautama, why Ahilya was cursed by Gautam Rishi. So there are many incidences that faults in the characters of women in general, and even women like Parvati and Sati, even those high celestial women, devis of Swarga, even in them this fault is found, because this fault is very much natural to the feminine character. And that is why she is praying unto Lord Shiva, that because you are the husband of Sati, and because you know that many times Sati has not listened to your advice, not heeded to your advice, so this time I also have not heeded to the advice of my husband Kashyap Rishi, but just like you forgive Sati every time, you should also forgive me, knowing this to be a natural faulty character of women. Or else the word Sati Patihi can also hear me, Vishwanatha says, Yadva Satya Apyamurodhena Tad Bhagini Maam Madandayatu Iti Sa Sati Mahat Aparadham Marjayati Tu Iti Bhavaha Marjayatu Tu Iti Bhavaha. Vishwanatha is saying, or else, why I am saying that you are the husband of Sati? I am saying that you are the husband of Sati so that I am actually trying to invoke compassion in Sati, who is my elder sister, by saying that, O Lord Shiva, you are the husband of Sati, I am actually trying to invoke compassion in the heart of my elder sister Sati. So what she will do is that she will try to persuade you, she will try to convince you to not to punish me. This is why I am using her name while defining you, O Lord Shiva. I am using her name while defining you, while praying unto you, Sati Patihi, husband of Sati. This is the reason why I am using her name, so that she might work as an agent for me. So these are the different types of psychological reasons why Didi has prayed like this. And although I have many things much more to say, but now since we have reached our time limit, so we will stop the session. Any questions or inquiries? short inquiries.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we just try to explain what Prabhupada also said here. He said that since Lord Shiva is himself associated with women, he knows very well their defective nature and he might not take very seriously. So this is what we have actually tried to explain here. Hare Krishna.